With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Get ready for first-class luxury paired with world-class drama when Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show featuring the one and only Lisa Vanderpump, premieres on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Roosevelt, a glamorous estate in the breathtaking French countryside. Immerse yourself in the electrifying lives of the elite staff as they seamlessly blend work, life, and play together 24/7. Witness the excitement unfold as they navigate through intense rivalries, romances, and misadventures. In their quest to deliver unforgettable experiences for their guests, the staff must rise to the challenge of meeting Lisa's high standards, and not everyone has what it takes to shine. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
You know, as a mom, I think that you really have to dial into your confidence, to who you're what you're about, and, you know, be okay with your decision, even if it means you're going to be behind. And I think it comes down to experience.
Drop it like a hat. Drop it like a hat. Drop it like a hat.
Natalie, what do I do?
I hope it's giddy giddy.
Kat and Nat have joined. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are so excited that you could be here with us today.
Wish us luck, because there's like any moment a child is going to appear. So we are here, but yes, that's the life which I think most know right now.
Our kids are at home learning. We're in lockdown in Toronto.
Oh my gosh. A lot of the ladies up here, I'm sure, can feel your pain, because a lot of them are moms that are teaching as well. Carm is in lockdown in Toronto, too. So
the worst is teaching a private school kid lockdown. You're paying to teach her at home. It's the worst.
Oh, my God. I have a four-year-old that I'm teaching at home with a seven-year-old.
Terrible.
Yeah, no, it's all just such a joke.
So if you are just joining the room, we are just about to get started. Make sure you're hitting the plus sign and inviting a few people in. If you aren't familiar with Kat and Nat, you might have heard me mention them, because I talk about them from time to time. They are hilarious podcast hosts, YouTubers, best-selling authors, social media sensations, comedians, and they're best friends. And they head up a community of like-minded moms. And I'm not a mom myself, but I adore their videos. They are hysterical. And like Carm was saying yesterday, she thinks that's the type of mom I'll be. And I hope so, because they do it all through laughter. So welcome, Kat and Nat. We are thrilled to have you back again.
Thank you
for having us.
All right. So I know that I have quite a few questions I would love to dive in and ask you. And I know I've got some friends up here on the panel that would love to ask you as well. But really, I would love to know, how did this all start? How did you two meet?
Okay, well, we are from Toronto, and we both ended up at the same high school, a high school that is currently like 5 minutes from our house. I still live around the corner from that high school. And we were in ninth grade, and we had mutual friends, and we met, and we liked each other. And as the years went on in high school, we got really, really bored of being in class. So when, like, the bell would ring and everybody would go in, the two of us would be left outside of what we called the south doors.
I don't think we'd be left outside. I think we stayed outside.
And we'd look at each other and I'd be like, are you going to class? And she's like, fuck, I don't want to go. And she's like, you? I'm like, nah. Like, let's go back to your mom's house, eat cheese bagels, and smoke weed. I mean, what else are you going to do to waste the time? So that's basically where we bonded, in just the fact that, like, we didn't quite feel like we could sit through school and be a part of what everyone else seemed to be, like, so into. And then through our 20s, we sort of, you know, went our separate ways, but kept in touch through different, like, interests, like child and youth work and social work. And then it wasn't until the two of us were the first of all of our friends to have babies, thinking it would be the most joyous experience. It would be so adorable having a cute baby.
When she says we went our separate ways, we'd see each other across a bar, like in our, you know, like in the 21, 22, 23, and I'd be on the bar and she'd be like, I know you. You know, we kept running and like running in the same circle and crossing paths, and then
I was on the bar too. I don't know what bar you were at, but I was at the bar. I was on the, you have to get on the bar when you're in your 20s. Like, being on the floor is no good. You have to be elevated where there's a chance at any time you could fall or anyone could see up your skirt. It's just, it's danger and it's amazing. So we calmed our hormones down and we had babies and we found each other on Facebook and we were like, oh my gosh, what were we thinking? All of our friends are still going to dinner at 9 o'clock at night at the coolest restaurants downtown, and we're locked down with these babies that can't sleep, and we're literally like, we feel like we're on fire and our brains are, you know, going in circles, and it wasn't what we pictured. So we got together and we never left each other, because if you have a kid, husbands are fine, but you need a wife.
I love it. Oh my gosh. So now, how did it come to be where you started a business? Like, was that what you had set out to do?
Hell no. Take it away, kitty.
You know, it's like, I think a lot of women maybe who have children can relate, when you picture your life one way and you think that when you have a child, that's sort of what you think of when you really want kids and that's all you think of. And then you get there and you realize that life still goes on and everyone around you is living, and you're a stay-at-home mom, but it's like you're not part of the world. And when we began to, after a year or two, when we kind of got into the hang of it, we felt really unsettled in the role, because some people love it and that's their choice and that's where they thrive, and like, it's a really hard job. But if your brain doesn't stop, like our brain didn't stop, and women kept talking to us about, you know, they'd go back to work and we were the stay-at-home moms and they'd be like, why does this happen? What does this happen? And people were really missing a community, because, you know, 10 years ago when we had babies, it was like taboo to talk about your children when you went out. So if you went out to dinner with people at work or when you went out with your, you know, friends, it's like you were the boring one if you talked about your kids, or like it was not acceptable. So when we began to get women together, they were just like ravenous for information and to feel normal. And so we started something like a dinner club at nighttime per se, where we just got women together and had conversations where they could come without their children, drink wine and finish a conversation. And we just saw the power of it. And people were like, can you come to my city? Like, I need this. I want to talk to people who are kind of in the same stage as me and, you know, understand motherhood in a different way. And people, you know, one or two glasses of wine in, began to drop the front of how everything was perfect and mm-hmm. begin to really like get vulnerable, and their vulnerability helped everyone else around them to realize, you know, like, it's like you sit there and everyone's like, oh, everything's great, this is amazing, we're doing this, and then like 2 hours later they're all like, this is terrible, I'm having a hard time, I hate my husband. Like, you know, they don't really hate them, but so
they, I just think, hate the way they breathe, it's fine.
At that moment, and we just saw a And as we took time away, our husbands kind of began to be like, you're spending money to go do this and not making money. Like, this doesn't make sense. We're hiring babysitters so you can go do this. Not realizing that, you know, if you, we just were like, well, we love doing this. This is a passion, but they're like, no, you can't do this without an income. Like financially, we cannot do this. So,
and we were like, why? We're having such a good time. We're filling people's buckets. Like, you know, why can't it just be this? Why can't it?
Yeah. And I
but
think
it couldn't.
I think a lot of women, a lot of people, when their ideas happen, a lot of people like grill you about like, well, how much money are you gonna make? What's your plan? Where's it going? That's not feasible. And, you know, kind of every time they pushed us, we were like, watch us. And, you know, they've come and learned a long way, but I think a lot of women in particular get roadblocked before they even try. And we had to, like, you know, change directions many times. But, you know, we started off making like $20, and that was so meaningful to us. And they were like, but you spent this much to make that much. And, you know, maybe they're part of the reason we were able to turn it into a bigger business than we could have ever imagined. But it took, there was two of us, so we were able to persevere through, you know, the hurdles and the roadblocks that were put in our way.
And it's crazy to think about, like, where we are now. And it's like, did you, like, sit down and you have a business plan? Is this what you imagine? Absolutely not. But also at the same time, things changed along the way. So thank goodness we didn't have such a concrete plan, because we were able to, like, you know, let's say pivot or be flexible, change our ways. Like, we started live streaming, like, a show from our living room through a program that we found this dude in Germany who knew how to live stream through YouTube. And we just started live streaming, and the quality wasn't great, but we knew that we wanted to get into more households of women so they felt like they belonged and they were part of the conversation. And then fast forward a year later, Facebook Live became a thing, and you could live stream through everything. We'd already been doing it, so it was like, it was perfect. There wasn't much influencer marketing. So we were at the beginning of that, when brands would be like, well, how much would it cost to, like, you know, talk about our product at one of your events? And the two of us would look at each other, and we'd basically go 1, 2, 3. We'd throw out a number, and then we'd like find somewhere in the middle. So she'd say 5,000, I'd say 2,000. We would say to the brand, $3,000. And then they were like, okay. And we're like, okay, sure. I mean, now there's so much more of a standard, and we have agents and managers and everything involved. But back then, everyone was just kind of flying by the seat of their pants, and we were there for the ride.
I love it. That's incredible. And now you've built this massive company and brand together, and you had no idea it was going to take off like that. And you mentioned how you had to pivot and change along the way. I'm curious, what has been the biggest struggle in this journey?
I think every day is a struggle, really, because you never know what's coming where, and you always, I mean, as content creators, you're always making content, and, you know, that's like, kudos to every content creator, because that's a lot of work, and there's a lot of pressure on a lot of people, because it's such a fast moving world, right? And I think that a lot of people just think that content's so easy to make because there's so much of it. And I think that every day you're kind of like, you know, we don't think too far ahead, which I think is a blessing for us. But at the same time, I think the struggle is always, how can we do more, make more, yeah, and be in more places? And I don't know an entrepreneur who doesn't really think that way. You know, it's just, there's never an end goal as an entrepreneur, because you're always, if it's your personality, you've never achieved where you want to be, because there's always a bigger goal to be at.
That is so true. I mean, once you hit the what you initially thought was your goal, then it changes. I remember in my first year of business in 2009, I thought, if I can just make $30,000 a year, I'll be able to afford my basement apartment and I will be happy.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Yep. No, ours was that we wanted to each be able to make $2,000 a month. And that would be, and we were like, that's if, like, everything goes perfectly. Like, that's all we would ever want. Nothing more than $2,000 each a month. And that we would, that would be it.
And now that's changed a lot.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
What did you guys do before this?
Oh, God. Well, Nat's got a history. She's like the jack of all trades. And I was a social worker before this.
And I worked actually for a female entrepreneur who was a woman who just, actually, you guys would probably know Bite Beauty, the lipstick. Before it was Bite Beauty, it was a company called Suzanne Lang Custom Fragrance. And she was a female entrepreneur from Toronto who was literally like the definition of a hustler out there to make it on her own. Like a team of five, pretending we were a team of 200, traveling all over like the U.S., getting into like, you know, Saks and Barney's and all the Holt Renfrews in Toronto. And just sort of like, it was the two of us acting like, you know, we had this huge company behind us. And I learned everything from her and nothing stopped her. And she ended up selling, you know, moving into lipstick and selling to LVMH and like did amazing. But just watching everything that she did, like nobody could stop her. You know, she was going to sell a business and she did it. So I got to be right beside her watching her make all those moves.
Oh, so it was almost preparing you a little bit for this journey.
Like, yeah, it really was. And so I sometimes don't even think about it until we're sort of like in one of those moments where it's such a big decision making or you're talking to someone that you think would be so intimidating to talk to. And there's Kat and I just talking to them like casually. That's what she was like. You know, she was in these head offices of, you know, the biggest buyers. And there I was, and I was completely unprepared. And I would get like the floor to talk. And I was like, she was just like, go. When they talk to you, talk back. Okay. Like, I think I know the answers. Just sort of like just being on your feet and just figuring it out and acting like you know the answers.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay, so you talked about content creation, and I know the struggle with that. It's exhausting. Trying to create it and come up with it, and then you get the judgment of it and the people, you know. So you've had many viral videos. How do you guys come up with the content, and is there a line that you won't cross?
I mean, how do you come up with the content? I think the content is just content of motherhood and content of conversation, and it's just kind of what's happening. And we don't have a content calendar. We don't think about what we're gonna. I mean, if people knew, I'll never forget when we had Jenna Hager, they flew Jenna Hager Bush up to us in Toronto for the Today Show. And they were trying to figure out, we did an interview and then they're like, we want to do a Mom Truth with you in the car. What's your green screen and what cameras do you have so we can match it? And we were like, oh no. We use an iPhone in a car. And they were like, pardon? And I was like, yeah, an iPhone in the car. And they were kind of mind blown by that fact. And you know, all of our podcasts, and I mean, we got nominated for an iHeartRadio award for our podcast, and it's all from an iPhone in our car. We don't have a studio. We don't have, like, a producer. We don't have someone writing things for us. It's, like, us in our car.
With the content that is
in our brains.
The eight walls of our homes, and yeah. When the two of us come together, it's just like, I mean, it's, you know, when you're talking to your best friend, and you're okay to talk about your secrets and what's going on in your family and what's going on in your life, like, that's what our content is, and we're just sharing it with everybody.
And our line is we would never put down another person. Like our job, like we would never make fun of other women, and we would never. Our mom truths are not a place to. You know who gets offended by our mom truths? Men, which is super interesting because it has nothing to do with them, and it's really a perspective of, you know, being a woman. And we just mother-in-laws are off the table, and, you know, just never being mean-spirited. It's never about...
But we don't have to hold back on that because we don't really have, like, mean thoughts. We've, you know, we've learned so much in motherhood about not being judgmental, and we might have changed over, you know, we've been doing this for 12, being moms for 12 years, and we've learned that, like...
Sorry.
Oh, that's Siri.
Thanks, Siri. We've learned that, like, there, you can do things absolutely different than another woman, than another mother, and it doesn't mean your way is better or her way is better. And so we've learned to just, you know, we're just so open-minded to the way that people do it, and we're also so not stuck in our ways that we could change our mind tomorrow about the way that we've, made a decision for our kids, you know?
We don't have enough time or energy to worry about what the hell anybody else is doing.
Yeah.
I love it. And that is incredible that you've done it all on your iPhone.
Yeah.
Yep. And still to this day, we do it only on an iPhone.
Yeah.
Because I always hear it, you know, especially at women's events, about why someone can't start a podcast or a YouTube channel because they don't have the equipment. They don't have the setup. They don't know how to do it.
Yep. You're so right. And we thought we had to. Like, we have, between our houses, we have created quote-unquote studios in our basement. We've had lights. We've had small rooms for sound. And every time we go in, and we haven't bought all the stuff. It's just, like, things that we had around. And every time we get in there and we're like, hey, we're going to do it in the studio, we're so antsy. We're like, we got to get in the car. Like, we have to have the energy of the world around us. And, you know... It is true. Like, you really don't need all that stuff. And I know that every time we go on people's podcasts and they have the whole setup or they're in the studio, and sometimes it really sounds great, and that's great that they're able to do that. But that's not what our podcast or any of our lives look like. It's just us.
That's incredible. That is something that needs to be shared and shouted from the mountaintops, because, oh my gosh, if you guys can build this massive following with just that, it just goes to show what is possible.
And by the way, we use a free app to record everything on. So that too.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Now, so I was doing a deep dive through some of your older videos, and you get so many different characters always online, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You're well aware of that. Do the negative comments bother you?
No. Sometimes I want them to penetrate and hurt a little bit so I have something in common with people, like with people who are, because when people get really upset about mean things, I'm like, that is so true. I'm like, that would be so shitty to hear. Like, when people, you know, come on and they talk about and they show the comments that people say and they're very upset, I'm like, I totally feel that for you. For some reason, I'm like, sticks and stones can break my bones, but like, you can't. We feel so close to everything we do and say, and we have each other, and we feel like everything is so real. I mean, of course, sometimes we might make mistakes, and of course we'll apologize if we say something that was to hurt someone that we didn't mean to at all. But if they're just being mean, like, you look fat, or you look ugly, or you two are terrible mothers, I'm like, but I'm a good mom, and I know that about myself, so you, stranger, can't hurt me. I mean, if Kat told me I was a bad mom, I'd probably cry for a year, you know? But who are, like, it doesn't hurt. I don't know why.
It sounds like because you're coming from a great place and you know your mission, that, you know, these comments are just trolls.
Yeah.
I think that when people, like, say these comments, I really do think they have, like, a passion in them to, maybe you're so far different from them that, you know, it ignites, like, an insecurity in them. So to bring you down, like, makes them feel right rather than better. You know, I really don't think it's about feeling better. I think it challenges their thoughts. And that's something that it ignites anger in people, because if you're right and they're wrong, that can't possibly be. So they have to be right and you have to be wrong. So I'm going to, you know how many conversations and fights they try to ignite in our DMs, you know, whether we're posting about humanity or human rights or, you know, like, you know, we push back on, you know, ideologies, and people will come at us and then we're like, you know what? We'd love to hear your perspective. Like, you know, we take a moment so they can yell and scream. And then by the end of it, they're like, thanks for listening. And I think that social media is so much screaming. And when you stop and you're like, you know, I, like, talk to me and then they get to say what they say, they often come around to the conversation of what you're trying to say versus just a screaming match. So we'll never engage in a conversation where we'll never fight back and be like, well, screw you too. We're just like, I'm really sorry you feel that way. And let us know what else we could do to make it better. And then they're like, oh.
It's so true. Like, I mean, I guess there are just people who open accounts to be trolls, but you got to think who those people are and like how
they're far and few between.
If you feel the need to say something negative, you've got to wonder what's going on inside of those people. And so I often sometimes be like, well, that would be so shitty to be them. You know, it'd be so shitty to feel the need to come online and just do something negative. Like you must not feel good on the inside. You must be having a really shitty day, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But I don't believe, like, there's very few people that are actual, like, evil people.
Yeah.
It's true, and we really don't know what that person is going through when we look at them.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, hurt people.
Yep.
But I love that you said challenges their thoughts so it ignites anger, because they have to be right and bring you down.
Yep.
So they try to ignite that fight. That's totally true.
Mm-hmm. And that's true. And I mean, if you just like lay it down, that's true sometimes in relationships when you think about like your partner. Sometimes something you do can just ignite them just because it's not the way that they're doing it. Like it's the human basics. It can happen anywhere with any relationship.
Yes, that's true. I never thought of that in relation to...
I know.
...to relationship. You guys should be relationship counselors.
And your own triggers, right? Like, I think that often we try to, we have a group called The Common Parent, which is a subscription-based group where we talk about, we bring in the best experts all over the world, and they bring in conversations of parenting and, you know, really hard topics, and we have webinars, and a lot of what we try to teach our children is, mm-hmm. To clear trigger, like if we are constantly trying to not trigger people or to upset people, then that's impossible. But mm-hmm. if you can teach your children or yourself that what triggers you to step away from that versus, you know, letting you're in so much more control of the way you feel. So, mm-hmm. you know, when your children are yelling and screaming at you, it may feel really infuriating. But when you take yourself out of it and you're like, you know, those are your feelings at the moment and you know they don't mean it, there's just something that's triggered them. You're regulating, you're showing how to regulate versus meeting them and fighting back at them. So we just are constantly trying to regulate ourselves. And
we have learned so much. It's so crazy if you think about it, but so much about being an adult and adult relationships from our common parent, like this parenting about how to parent like kids and teens and tweens. And it's like, oh my gosh, it's so relatable to adulthood and children and how it's all about relationship. And it's how
you
feel.
Can be triggered all day long. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You can be triggered all day long, but how do you regulate yourself so you can move through life without living in a state of, you know, triggeredness and defensiveness constantly. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That is true.
Yeah.
I'm taking some notes over here.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to pass this to some of my friends so they get a chance to talk to you. All right, Nisha. And Kat, Nat, if you see microphones flashing when you're talking, that is how we clap on Clubhouse.
Oh.
If you're wondering why they're flashing, it's just because they're clapping for
you.
We're
very bad at Clubhouse, and it's very kind of everyone to come and listen. Like, we're always shocked when people show up. So thanks for coming today.
We'll throw it to Nisha, and then to Carm, and then to Gina.
Awesome. So nice to meet you, Kat, Nat. I am Nisha, and, you know, I was on your Instagram, and I love it so much because there's such authenticity. You feel it. And there was a post that you posted about one of your daughters and how it's like, you know, kind of we're quitting this virtual kindergarten life right now. You know, we're tired of it. She's not happy. And I think for many of us who've gone through this last year, I guess 2 years, I don't even know how long it's been.
Yeah.
It's been a long
yeah.
time. Craziness, right? And I had the same thing. I have a 5-year-old daughter, 3-year-old son, and my daughter, they were both doing virtual. They recently went back to school. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Congratulations.
but I experienced the same same thing where I would watch them, and it's like they expected my son to do virtual learning, a three-year-old boy. First of all, he would sit there for 1 minute, and then the teacher would be like, hi, Grayson. He would literally say hi and walk away. never came back to the computer. So I want you guys to dive into that, because I thought that was so powerful. I think so many moms felt that, your sweet daughter just laying in the bed, and it's like, no, we are done. And making those decisions that benefit their mental health, mm-hmm. you know, is necessary. So please talk to us about that. This is Nisha, and I'm done speaking.
Oh, thanks, Nisha.
It has been hard. You know, when I look at my kids and they all sign in and they all, and I feel their souls being like, this could be dramatic, but I feel their souls like just being sucked in by the computer. And I know that so much of every part of them doesn't want to be there. I watched my grade one. He can't sit still and his body's constantly moving and his face isn't happy. And the teacher's doing everything he can to make them smile. He's got a puppet in his hand and my son is completely unentertained by the whole thing. And I just look at them and I feel so sad for them. And I do often tell them, and I do it in front of my husband too, to make sure he knows. I let them know that everything that they're doing right now is completely abnormal. And you know, my older son, he's like, you know, TJ, the little one, he skips school all the time. He doesn't sit on his computer. I said, you know, when you watch a grade one class and you see how they interact and how they learn, it's all about like a group setting or sitting on the carpet and playing together and teamwork and all of that. And none of that is happening. So the fact that he isn't having a good time, I can totally relate to that. And I say to the older kids too, I'm like, when they complain, I'm like, you are doing such an amazing job for as much as you are able to participate, because this is something I never had to do. I make sure to let them know, like, I never had to do this, and Lord mercy, I never would have succeeded at it. I couldn't do it in real life, let alone on the computer. And I'm like, you know, you guys are amazing. You're amazing for doing this. Like, we're coming to the end, and I really feel for you. Like, I let them know, and I say it from the heart, and I really do mean it. I'm like, it's crap what you're having to do here.
I think also as moms, we have to give ourselves permission to understand that, you know, that it's okay that you can break the rules for your child.
Yes.
I think that you're allowed to, you know, the teacher, when she saw my daughter's face, the teacher, and she calls me, and she was literally crying on the phone, because she's like, I see her not smiling. I don't know what to do anymore. And I'm like, this is not you. This is not you as a teacher, because the teachers, you know, they don't want to be doing this either. And they're heartbroken to see their students, you know, kind of like crumbling before them. And across the board, you know, kindergarten is not meant to be on a screen. That's mm-hmm. not what it's meant to be. So, you know, as a mom, I think that you really have to dial into your confidence and to who you're what you're about, and mm-hmm. you know, be okay with your decision, even if it means they're going to be behind. And I think it comes down to experience, because, you know, fast forward, and I have a son who had learning challenges, and it really wasn't, the teachers didn't like, they kind of pushed back on me, being like, nah, it's just his eight. Like, I had to keep pushing for him to be like, this, something's not right. And, you know, he couldn't read till like grade two, like couldn't write, couldn't read. And he's caught up now. So I really do think that, you know, children come to their own at their own time. And if you kill their learning light, you're never going to get that back.
Yeah.
You can always teach them to read. But my daughter used to skip to school every single day. She was so excited. And then when she would come down bawling, like crying, you know, 45 minutes into class, I was like, we're done, because I can never teach you how to love learning again. And
that's what Kat said right there, like, kill their learning light. It resonates with me so much, because my learning light got killed and it never came back.
The joy of learning never comes back. School
was gone for me, like after eighth grade. Like, I always looked at it as such a horrible thing to have to do. And if there's any way that you can make it, especially like now, and break the rules and say it's okay if you don't want to go to school today, to keep the joy, because there is such a joy in education and learning as long as you can hold on to that somehow.
And for life, like, you know, the joy of what ignites you is so important to find. And the joy of, like, the, whether it's learning, but little kids are dying to learn,
yeah,
like really eagerly. And I think that we have to be really aware right now of are we killing their light or are we igniting their light? And so when I saw her light dimming, I was like, we out, we done. You know what? We're going to go play. And she reads every night with me, and that's kind of all we do.
And
so
even when you're back in school, like if you know, you're seeing your kids and you're feeling that there's some sort of a heaviness going on at school, grab them out of school. Like, it's okay to break the rules and grab them out of school and take them on an experience and just like make them happy again. Cause, I'll never forget when my mom told me once, I was young and I said, I thought teachers knew everything. And I'll never forget her looking at me and saying, you know, your teachers don't know everything. You know, sometimes you can challenge them as well. And you can break the rules. Well, she regrets saying that now, doesn't she? But like, you can break, sometimes you're right. And I was like, whoa, like the power that I could be more right than a teacher, or that we can break the rules, or we can go find fun outside school, or learn in a way that's not so traditional.
And I think everyone gets caught in the rules of society. We all really get caught in, I'm supposed to do this. I should be here. This isn't what I should be doing. And when you begin to think about, you know, when your children come into the situation, you really have to, you know, begin to question that. So that's our answer. I hope that worked for you.
Oh my God, so beautifully said. Thank you so much. I'll turn it over to Carm.
I just wanted to say, you know, that really reminds me of something that happened in grade six. I got bullied by this girl really badly. She was just a nasty, mean girl. And I was so sad. I was this scrawny little blonde girl. And my mom had gone in and talked to the principal. And nothing was being done. This girl used to go to the computer lab. That's when we all had those awful big computers.
Yep.
And she would log in because your password was your last name and the first letter. And she'd send mean messages to other kids from my name.
Oh.
So they wouldn't like me. And I remember I had a baseball tournament and we won both games. And I came home and I was still so sad. My mom looked at me and said, yeah, you're not going back. There's a month left. You go to a new school next year. That's it. I'm pulling you out.
I love it.
It was the best thing she could have done. Our family was like, what do you mean she's not going back to school? She's like, no, look at her. She's miserable. I'm not sending her back there.
I love that. And you always remember that. And when you started the new year, things were better.
Yes. I started a new school and she was at that new school, but she was nobody because we were all of a sudden in junior high school.
Yeah, totally.
And so she didn't care about me anymore. And it stuck with me for life.
Aw, I love that.
All right. I'm throwing it to you, Carm. Are you still there?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Thanks. So ladies, I have a two-part question. First question, and I'm in Toronto as well, so it totally sucks.
Welcome.
Totally sucks.
Yeah.
two-part question. How do you, have you ever had a creative disagreement between the two of you as best friends? Because it seems like you guys just are so in sync. And two, do your husbands watch your show? Do they ever say anything's off limits? Like, what are the rules regarding that? Because you talk about sex and you want to kill them and all the kinds of all the things.
Just remember.
I don't know if you talk about if they fart in bed or pee on the toilet seat. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Boner in your, in their back. So I'd love to know what's off limits, if anything, or are they at the point like you're making the bread and they're like, I don't care, use us, we don't give a shit. That's my question.
My husband pretends not to watch his cat, and then he'll say something. I'm like, he always sees the one, so clearly he watches a lot more than he tells me.
Yeah.
But he like he
it'll be like we're having cocktails and then he'll like say something.
I'm like,
perfect. Like, how do you, what? Because like, I really feel like when we're talking on Insta stories and when we're posting things, I feel like it's between us and our girlfriends.
Yeah.
So when he says something about the like about something that we said, I feel like he read my diary. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So as far as the husbands go, I mean, it has been a gradual process. We're open books, but we're open, like, even in front of them, in front of all of our families, all of our friends. Like, we kind of say it how it is. Like, if there was something really personal, I think we'd know.
And I think Nat just hit it, like, on the head. We are who we are through and through. So it's not like we come on to make content and we change. Nothing surprises them and nothing shocks them. And I think, you know, that's why our relationships are successful, because we're not two people. Like, it's not like we show up and then we're different with our girlfriends or, you know, online. And they're very, before we even had this, we were like this. So that is something about being authentic, I guess, when, you know, authenticity is really hard for us to understand because we can't imagine not being yourself. So being authentic feels very weird when people say, be authentic, because it's like, what else could you possibly be? And remember, we've never really had to show up in a company where we've had to be something other than ourselves. So that's really a bonus to us. And a creative disagreement, no, we never have had a creative disagreement whatsoever across anything.
We have ideas. We like each other's ideas a lot. And
Thank God we both have ideas, or else that would be a big problem. So the more ideas, the better, you know?
Yeah. And we share, and then sometimes some of the ideas happen and some of them don't. And we just know. Two of us know if it just feels right, and then we just go for it.
And sometimes it feels right and it's wrong, and that's okay. And we don't hold each other accountable for it. It's like,
no,
that was a great idea in the moment. We don't really ever get stuck in failure. Like, really, whatever failure doesn't exist, in my opinion. There's no such thing as failure. It may feel really, it's a really shitty feeling sometimes, but that's not failure. That's just a feeling you need to work through to help you grow into the next thing.
Sometimes when things, like, you know, don't happen that we expect them to, we have such a, like, optimistic, you know, it could be naive kind of brain that we're like, the first thing we think if something didn't work out, I'll be like, oh my gosh, so that means something else is coming. Oh, this is going to be great.
We can sit in the moment and be like, that's a bad feeling, but we don't ever get stuck in it. We work through it quite quickly and on to the next.
I literally think, like, I think the world stopped that because it wasn't going to be right, and the next thing is going to be really exciting. I'm like a 6-year-old in that way. Like, you know, like, oh, they ran out of strawberry? Let's try rainbow.
That's awesome. What year is this that you guys have been collaborating now?
Oh, God. Well, we've been friends. Nine or 10. That's hard to know. I don't even know my wedding anniversary. You know, I think it's 9 or 10.
The only way I know is that it was when we had these babies at the same time, and we had our hands full with babies and kids, and we knew we weren't even done having kids, but we were like, our hands are so full and life is so busy, but there's this space between us that is empty right now that needs to be filled.
Like, we share a bank account, we share an email, we literally share everything. The company's 50-50, and like, we have the same, everything's the same. So
people are like, who is this? And we're like, doesn't matter.
It's both of us.
Same voice, one voice. No, but yeah, we had these babies, and there was a space. We were sitting in Kat's living room. We just had crying babies everywhere. I was like, something is out there for us, Kat.
Yeah.
We got to do something. And
that's
then,
right.
And then she was like, well, then let's do it right now. I'm like, well, fine. Fuck, let's start. Let's go.
That's epic. That is so epic. Turn on the phone. Hurry.
Hurry up.
I love it. Gina.
Hello, Emily and the gorgeous Kat and Nat. It is so good to be here. I am Gina, known as Clubhouse Momerator and co-founder of the Mom Link with my two girls, Crystal and Nicole, who are also on stage.
Amazing.
That's amazing. Kat and Nat, we're in the back chat. We're like, this is us in 3 years from now. Like, you guys are literally, like, so amazing. And what we're trying to do with the Mom Link is so, like, in alignment with what you guys are doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's amazing. So we're, like, texting on the back end, and we're like, you know, it's not easy collaborating, right? Like, we are three strong women with strong opinions. We're always right, you know, and it's different. It's difficult collaborating. So you kind of answered it with Carmelia, but it's like, what happens when you're not, you know, in the mood that day, or you're just feeling overwhelmed, or you're where do you guys go to get that grit? And especially if you're not feeling each other in that moment, or like, you know, we had an issue, we had a situation this week, and thank God we like dug deep. And honestly, I feel like it took us to the next level. Like, I feel like we're even better because of those moments that we have. But like, tell me how you guys do it. Like, how do you find your why every day? How do you get up and do this every day? What's your motivation when you feel like giving up?
So crazy you're saying this right now, because I will tell you, the pandemic has killed we are ignited by the world. We're ignited by people being around us. We're ignited by, like, mystery and challenges and, you know, like, the unknowingness of our life together. And the monotony of the day-to-day wait. Like, the amount of fun we would have, we would wake up, like, on fire with fun. And the pandemic has killed where we were. We've had to find fun in more traditional ways, which is really, you know, we used to, like, dream constantly on the planes, in the Ubers. We'd be, like, over food. We would constantly be dreaming.
Always food.
And I think what the pandemic has done is given us no space to be, like, creative, to be, like, wouldn't you agree? To be, like...
Yeah, like, we
it's a grind right now, yeah. which is not what we're... Like, it's a lot of work right now, which is great. It'll be great in the long term because it's like we can go back to having fun. And it's like this work had to be done in the business, not amongst ourselves, but like amongst what we've created during the pandemic is sustainable outside of Cat and Nat. So we don't have to constantly be the ones pushing the stroller. I don't know what else the word
needle?
Is.
I don't know that word.
But what we have to do is we have to come together, get the work done, and then we leave each other because of the kids and the family and everything. And what we're missing is
that in between, the world that is outside of everything that we have right now. And we love that world. As far as you guys being a threesome, like, wow, I can speak from being a twosome, and I do know that we have watched a lot of partners start things and not be able to follow through, be successful, because it's so hard when you're taking multiple personalities to come together to create one.
And if you have specific roles, that's even harder. Where Nat and I have no roles, we've never defined anything, so it's not like... No one's ever, like, we just, when you're a friendship that's a business, it's either really works or really doesn't, because there's no disappointment. Because if, you know, if someone needs, like, for example, for today, I was calling her and she didn't pick up. And finally at 9, I'm like, dude, are you awake? And she's like, I just woke up. And I'm like,
you remember when you rescheduled the Clubhouse for 9:30 this morning? I'm like, dude, it's Thursday?
Yeah, I laughed. Like, it wasn't like I was like, you know, I wasn't like, Natalie, you're so irresponsible. Like, it's like this weird place that we live in. And, you know, we said this on a podcast the other day, and I hope this makes sense to maybe the three of you, that I don't know if you guys are friends. Are you guys friends or are you strictly partners?
We're friends now, yeah.
But yeah. So I think what is different for Nat and I is that when you have a friendship, and I think that's why, this is why a lot of people relate to us, and we kind of like dove into this on a podcast we did recently. When you have a friendship has no expectations. So we have literally very little expectations of each other, but we respect each other so much. We'd never break those expectations, because a friendship that is kind of pure, there's no like, I don't expect her to, you know, do this or do that like a marriage or, you know, for the other people in your lives, what you have expectations. Our friendship is like transcends this purity of I want the best for her and she wants the best for me. And then we run a company that we want the best for, we take an approach that she would never intentionally hurt me, and I would never intentionally hurt her. If that happens, that's not on purpose. That's not like I'm spiteful and I'm going to hurt you. We have this trust and this, you know, this like energy where it's just like, I'm here for you. And sometimes I've got to step up sometimes more, and sometimes she has to step up more. And we know, we just feel each other's energy, and we know who needs more in that moment. And there's no regret. Like, I'm not like, well, I did this 75% of the time and you've done this 15% of the time, so you need to, there's none of that for us. So I think,
and then the only other thing is like, and something that I think has brought us success, one of the main things that has brought us success is that we always show up. So like,
yeah,
it's very easy to
accept,
just
almost today. No, I'm joking. Right.
In that moment, I was in the car in 4 minutes. Like, I was in bed in my pajamas and I was there, and I would never be late. Like,
right. And I would be, but she wouldn't.
No, but we would, for work, we never are. Yeah. Like, we people would ask us to drive outside the city for an hour to do a TV segment. And we're like, well, we gave birth yesterday, but we always would just
say
yes.
We're not recommending people do that. We're just saying we both have a yes.
Ethic that will always be there. We'll always show up. We won't be late, no matter how we feel. Even if, like, we're ill, we will show up in front of a client and we'll act like we're perfectly fine.
But not with COVID. If if you think of what, if you really sit there and you're like, we all want this to be successful, don't personalize someone else's opinion as like, you know, what you might have different opinions, but remember they still want what's best. And that's just the way they think. They just think that this would be the best and you think this would be the best. So rather than being like, she's out to get me and she doesn't like my idea, it's like this is how we also look at motherhood. Like, you know, everyone wants what's best for their children. Absolutely, without a doubt. So if they believe in this and you believe in that, they still believe that's what's best for their child. It doesn't mean yours isn't what's best. It's just how do we come together and have a conversation where we can be like, okay, like, can't, like, we just are very pragmatic about situations. Like, can we afford, like, if she's like, I want to do this, I'm like, can we, like, we're both like, can we afford it? Is it doable? Okay, let's do it. It's not, it's not me being like, my idea is better. Your idea sucks. It's going to fail. Let's not do that.
And unfortunately, the only thing that's going to stop the three of you from being successful is one of you.
Yeah, or is the perceived notion
of one of you. But like,
and
you,
the trust
you all, if you all have the same mission and you have the power of three, you will and can be very successful. And if somebody doesn't feel that they have that same mission, no, I didn't fart.
I'm sorry, it just
smells. She just
bad.
Asked me if I
it
farted. I wouldn't sit here and
sorry,
fart.
I didn't believe you did.
Okay. Oh my god. It's so rude if I farted. Anyways, would be one of you. And then, you know what? If one of you guys isn't working out, just kick her out and carry on.
No,
with two of you.
Stop it. No, no, no. Just always remember your mission.
I can't
always
believe,
remember.
Yes, you have farted.
Sorry. Carry on.
Oh my gosh, you two are hilarious. My best friend works for me. She's worked for me. She was the first employee I hired in 2009.
And did she fart?
No.
Oh, she has. But I gotta say, yeah, it's the best thing, having your best friend.
Yeah.
She's my VP, and I just adore her. And people ask, you know, how do you guys get along so well? Do you not fight? And it's like, well, it's hard to describe because, like you said, you have a different understanding of them because you know who they are.
Yeah, to the core.
And it's you just have this connection too. You both remind me of my connection with her. I remember we were getting ready for this fancy event one time, and she was spray tanning me with that Sally Hansen spray tan, and we were rushing because we were late, and she's like, okay, I don't mind doing this, but you're naked and you keep bending over in my face.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Haley, I'm coming to you.
Yeah, thanks. Great. So you guys, so fun to hang out with you too. It's like a breath of fresh air to just really be in the energy of just such a cool relationship. And, you know, as I was listening to you guys talk about specifically that last thing, like if somebody does something that hurts, it's like, we know it's not intentionally.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to understand like that is the way that you should lead with every relationship. Mm-hmm. I'm saying this because my husband and I just got like in a little spat the other day. And, you know, and I said to him last night, like, we got in a fight on Mother's Day, which kind of sucked. And then he left and went to Kansas City to visit his mom and dad, came back. And then, you know, he's came back and apologized. And I'm like, I know that you didn't mean to do this. It was just mean that you did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But
the thing is like every relationship, like we need to recognize, I think in every relationship that if we really love somebody, we're, that we're not out there to intentionally do something to damage them.
And if they are, you need to get out, you know, yeah, if you are that you need to get out.
Totally. But on another note, what I wanted to ask you guys, because I'm a woman who has made a lot of sacrifices over the last decade to be where I am here today. And I look at them as choices, not necessarily sacrifices. Like I may have decided to not do this so I could do that, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious to hear from you guys, like, what are some of the things that you felt like you had to let go of? Maybe it was family, maybe it was other opportunities, maybe it was whatever, free time. I'm curious to hear what you guys had to let go of so that you could have what you have now.
I don't know.
The only thing we've let go of is the crazy control we had over our children, thinking that other people weren't able to take care of them. So in that way, it's kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we used to do everything. We used to not leave the house without leaving a list of what my baby would do to the minute. Like, nobody could cook a meal without me leaving all the ingredients and the recipe, how to make it. Like,
or, like, it actually made.
And... yeah, and made and frozen and, like, the obsessiveness that we had as moms, which a lot of people have, is it's not necessary.
We used to feel guilty about going out after they were asleep. Like, once they were in bed, we would feel bad, even though they didn't know we were gone. So we've let go of a lot of those expectations of, you know, what I don't feel like we've had to give up anything, because everything's a choice. And you have to give, like, you know, when we travel and we have to miss first, and we have to, you know,
we have given up not being at every concert, every birthday.
Yeah, but it's something that I don't think it, like, it's not a loss. It's like when we step away and, you know, other people are there, well, that teaches our children resiliency, and that teaches them, you know, I'll never forget this. My daughter was supposed to go to sleepover camp this summer, and she's like, I've never been away from you for more than 12 hours. And I'm like, I have traveled for like 2 weeks. And then she was like, oh yeah, I'm going to be fine. And I was like, wow, that is, because the pandemic made her feel like I've never ever left her sight. And I thought to myself, you know, so often we're beating ourselves up for things that are actually life experiences that these people need to go through in order to, you know, grow up. And I think it's just our perspectives we all have. And if we didn't like something, we would change it. And so we just really, we don't look at things a lot as like we're giving up. It's like, you know, we try to put a spin on it. So when we leave, our children are like, we're not apologizing for leaving. We're like, we're going to work and we love it, because one day you're going to grow up, and I hope you never have to apologize for what you do, and I hope you love what you do, and everyone around you can be excited and proud. Do they miss us? 1,000%. Is it sometimes shitty when someone is sick and vomiting and, you know, one person's there taking care of them? Yeah, that sucks. But at the same time, what does that teach them? These lessons that they're okay, that they're resilient, that they're competent, that they, you know, it's a building, it builds their character so much more than what we're missing out on.
Everything that we have quote unquote given up, we actually see it has turned into a positive for everyone in the family.
We'll talk about the therapy bill in a few years, but I don't know. Like, that's just our perspective at the moment.
Again, we're just living through. We're just
living in that perspective. That's been my perspective too. It's just, it's this, you just hear, you can listen to, if you want to, the noise around you. And a lot of that noise can make other people feel really guilty about making their choices. So, yeah,
but us as women really need to start to change the narrative, because I think that we say women are really judgmental. I think we're most judgmental of ourselves. And when we go on the road and we talk to women, they're like mind blown that we've been able to leave. And I'm like, they're like, my partner could never, they could never. And I'm like, I bet you they could.
Because we would have said the same thing.
You just may not like the way they do it. So it's like these things as us as women need to start owning and being okay with, and you know, and stop change, calling and, ourselves a bad mom.
And change the narrative so that our children, you know, because a lot of women feel a lot of guilt, and they show their guilt through their behavior
and parenting.
We don't want our kids to see it as we're apologizing for following our dream, having fun, being successful, making money, so that, you know, our girls won't, you know, they'll be like, I can go off and do whatever I want, you know, whatever I want to do. And as a woman, I can be just as successful as my partner because daddy isn't apologizing for being at work until after dinner. So neither should mommy.
And I think that also, it's only going to start changing when we change it. Like, someone's got to change it, and we can't wait for everyone else to stop doing it. We have to start doing it ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, so good. That was funny because a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, we went, at the end of March, we went to visit me, my husband, my daughter who's in college. She's my stepdaughter. My little one who's 11. We flew out to Florida for a couple days to visit my parents. It was the first time we'd see them in like a year and a half. Went there for like 3 or 4 days and we flew to San Diego. We have another house over there. We started in Boulder, Colorado, by the way. When we were in San Diego, we had some friends come in. They actually arrived the day before us. They were in our house. And as everybody was getting ready to leave, well, they left. Everybody left but me. Like the other couple, their two kids, my husband, my two daughters, everybody went home. And I decided I was going to stay there for an extra week.
Yes.
I wanted some me time.
Yes.
Now, coincidentally, when everybody got home, my husband messaged me the next day and he said, guess what? Jen and Matt have COVID. So we all have to go get tested. It turned out that not only did Jen and Matt have COVID who were staying with us, but their two kids had COVID and my husband had COVID my daughter had COVID.
Oh my God. No, no.
I know. So I tested. I was fine. I did not have it. I even tested twice just to make sure. And I said, hey, listen, you guys, I'm going to hang out here until your quarantine's over. So it wasn't just going to be like the extra 5 days. It was going to be like, hey, I'm hanging out here for another 12 days.
Oh, I love you so much. I love you.
But you guys, I was getting so much shit on social media.
Oh.
People like, I can't believe you're not going home. I can't believe you're leaving your kid. How do you do that? I'm like, she's with her dad. They're taking care of each other. If it's an emergency, I'm coming back, but I'm not going into that house right now. No, thank you.
Good for you.
Yeah.
God, I wish we could have been there with you.
And just remember, the dad, your husband would have...
It was not hard to sit in San Diego by my pool outside in the sun hanging out.
And your husband would have never have gotten the same flack. So let's all remember that, too, the double standards that women have.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's interesting. Yeah, that the husband wouldn't.
Nope.
That's interesting. And that is so funny. You know what's interesting is once you have a child, it feels like the woman no longer matters. That it's just now all about this new being. As soon as from the moment you get pregnant, it's like their life is no longer a priority, it feels like.
Yeah, let's change that, though.
Let's change that now.
Right here, right now.
So I want to go to that comment where you said the husband, the dad, doesn't get the same flack.
Okay.
And here, hey, Kat. Hey, Nat.
Hi,
y'all. So the funny thing is there have been times where I'll have to work or I'll have an event and someone will say, so where are the kids? And I'll say, they're home.
Girl.
And they'll say, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. And they'll say, oh, so your husband's babysitting them?
Yes.
And I'll say, no, he's parenting. He's their dad. Yes. I didn't make them by myself.
Yes.
They are with their father who is taking care of his responsibilities because they are his children too. Like, no, he's not babysitting. And I really wish we would change the narrative and change the language about men taking care of their children that they help create. So no, I reject that term. No, he's not babysitting because I don't babysit. He is parenting just like I parent. And here he is popping into the room.
Oh, yeah. No, honestly, you have, like, every time we go on tour, everyone always asks about the kids. And we think to ourselves, because my husband used to travel a lot for work, I don't picture that he walked into boardrooms and people said, who's taking care of your kids?
to be respectful of your time. I did want to introduce my friend Keith has joined the stage, and Keith is actually the president of Time Magazine. He is down in New York. Keith, welcome. I was telling him this morning, he texted me and he said, who's Kat and Nat? I said, can you hear Kat and Nat?
Keith? It was, her voice actually went higher than that over text.
Welcome, Keith.
No, I love how we just brought in Keith after
all the man conversation.
Perfect timing.
Welcome, Keith.
I just want you to know I'm leaving in about 30 seconds, too, right? I just came to hear the conversation. I had like 30 Great. Seconds in Great. Between meetings. But really, more than anything else, Emily was so effusive of the two of you and so complimentary of how impressive she thought you both were as podcasters that I wanted to hear it for myself.
Wow. I wish you'd heard like about 20 minutes ago, but okay. You get to hear us dogging men. We love men.
I don't think it's the men's fault. I think us as women need to start letting go and let's stop expecting more and men, let more of men and less of women.
Yeah. Let's go.
Awesome. Emily, back to you. You're leading this room. I just want to say hi.
Hi.
Well, we are so glad you popped in, Keith. You're incredible. Awesome. Well, I do want to be respectful of your time because I know you're both super busy, but you are incredible. And I would love it if you could tell us a bit about your challenge and your new show and anything else you have going on.
Our parenting challenge really is a way for parents to begin to, tween and teenhood does not have to be terrible. And I think so much of parenting gets such a bad lens and we're like, let's flip the script. Let's have conversations. Are there bumpy roads? 100%. But I think that in terms of how we parent, I think there's tools and no one teaches you how to do it whatsoever. So let's get the tools. Let's arm ourselves with the right ways to communicate with these people who are supposed to launch and become independent people. We get so mad when they get their own ideas because it's no longer like our ideas. So how can we navigate this time? Because really there's not a lot of conversation. Toddlers, babyhood is taken care of. So we thought we'd do this. It's free. It's at called thecommonparent.com. Everything's there. And you can also go to catnat.ca. And our TV show, I don't know, Emily. Do you know something I don't know? Because
maybe our live show. Yeah, we're going on tour starting in September. We have 30 cities in 2021, and we're adding a bunch more to 2022. It's catinnattour.com. We are so excited to finally reunite with our friends in real life, in real clothes.
If you choose.
I love it. So everybody, please make sure to give Kat and Nat a follow here and over on Instagram. Check out catandnat.ca and all the incredible things they have going on. If you enjoyed this conversation, give it a screenshot and share it on your Instagram stories. Tag them. Tag all the incredible speakers up here. And make sure you give them a follow for being here. And
Emily,
giving their time.
You're amazing. And thank you so much for thinking of us and pushing us to do this. And we really appreciate everyone who took time out of their day to join us. It means a lot to us. So thank you for listening and being part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Well, I know that Kat and Nat, like the names go together so beautifully, but what about Kat, Nat, and M? Kat, Nat, M?
Sure.
Can you add me as the third non-childbearing friend?
Sure. Yeah, let's. Yeah, oh, God, absolutely.
You're in. We need
to finding a man named Mark.
Oh, my God. Both husbands named Mark. Yep.
Amazing. I love that.
Nat, I have to take this point of personal privilege and introduce you to my husband.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
There he is, El Kobe the Wiz. Say hey, husband, to Kat and Nat.
Greetings and salutations. Good morning, good people. Hello, Kat and Nat. How are you today?
Oh, we're good, great. Thank you. What a voice. Hello. Hello.
That's my husband, y'all. And he also rejects the term babysitter.
Good.
Babe, I was telling them how when you have the girls and people ask me if you're babysitting them. Oh, no, his signal faded. Well, hopefully he can come back.
Oh, well, we're actually gonna wrap soon because I think Kat and Nat didn't have too much time and I don't want to keep you here. Oh, are you back, Kobe?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you? Yeah, she was saying that, they like Kat and Nat, they ask all the time, is am I babysitting? Like, no, I'm fathering.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing.
Good man.
Good Thank man. You for changing the narrative. You know, that's what we need men to do, too, is change the narrative, too.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, Ash is gone and you're babysitting your kids? I'm absolutely not. You know, half of their DNA is mine, so I'm fathering them. That's what I'm doing.
Good on you.
Good for you.
I'd love to jump in here. Oh, I just wanted to say I'd love to jump in here because I talk about this. This is Gina. I talk about this all the time about how women get asked, oh, my God, how do you do it all? You take care of the kids and work and life and all the things. And I'm like, they never ask my husband, how do you do it all? How does he work and take care of the kids? And it's just such a double standard. I'm like totally about canceling that. I mean, he parents just as much as I do. We take turns. It is a partnership. Not a one-way street. This is, you know, 2021, guys. We are canceling that whole culture. Like, we're doing this together. Women can do it. Men can do it. And we do it all. We do it amazing.
Perfect.
Yes, mic drop. All right. Thanks again so much. Hopefully we can have you back on here. We've got some big things coming up. We've got a charity event that we're doing. It's a day-long fundraiser on May 30th. I'm doing it for cystic fibrosis to raise awareness and funds. Both of my siblings were born with it, and I lost my sister to the disease in 2011. So hopefully you can join us there or back for another day, another special episode.
We'd love that.
I will leave the... Wonderful! All right.
Bye, guys. Everyone. Thank you.
To give you...
Bye. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank y'all.